Take Two, Touchdowns and Tangents podcast.
You said it's a Take Two. They didn't know it was a Take Two.
Well, I like to be honest, man. I'm Pete D. Camarillo.
And I'm Kenneth Frank James Berry. Be honest, what's the D stand for in your middle name, Pete?
David, as in David and Goliath, as in I will knock your ass out. So let's get into it.
Well, at least for a minute, I'm Goliath.
Well, we usually like to do this thing in one take, but our last take was so horrible, we actually had to start it over. So.
I had to finish eating my three fries.
Wow, we're just having honesty, huh? I just titled this the Honest Podcast? But seriously, on a lighter note, on the Touchdown and Tangents podcast, or actually a heavier note, I should say, RIP to Joe McKnight, the former New York Jets and USC tailback. Also, one of the top recruits at the time.
The number one recruit in the nation in 2007.
Left LSU to go to USC. Was supposed to be the ear to the bush, though.
Why are you throwing shade at a dead man? He rushed for 1,000 yards in one season. He had like John David Booty as his quarterback.
He did.
So let's back up on
he did.
That.
He did. He did. He did.
I can't take a man serious whose last name is Booty.
No, but in all seriousness, just a phenomenal athlete who never really reached his potential as far as a football player at the collegiate and pro level. But beyond that, just a life taken way too soon, man. It's really sad. It really hurt me today that an NFL player just killed senselessly. Like, I mean, you know it happens every day, but when someone who's
that popular in LA at the time,
that popular
he was
in
huge he LA,
and to just go out like that,
and it's sad because in Louisiana, and a lot of entertainers from Louisiana talk about how it's not safe to live there anymore. That they have to leave. Like Boosie, he talked about in a DJ Vlad interview how there's a lot of hatred at dudes who make it, so they can't come back home. And the ones who end up, if they risk coming back home, things like this happen. There's a lot of violence and just impoverished cities, disenfranchised type cities. And we all know that crime and poverty are direct correlation to one another. And if you didn't know that, now you do. If you're poor and there's not many resources in your area, you're most likely to harm the person closest to you anyway. And in situations like this, this is why Josh Huff, when he talked about how he carries a gun to protect himself and his family, now you guys kind of, it all comes full circle. It's really sad. It's a sad, violent sense of circle.
Hopefully it is sort of a tangent, but it's an important point that you're making, Kenneth. And regardless of who he is, just seeing someone get killed, we don't know the full story. We don't know if this was really just an act of road rage. We don't know if it was something more. But at the end of the day, it's a human life, and it shouldn't be taken in the middle of a street.
This is the second time in Louisiana in what? Like, a span of 6 months, I think, is what? When did Will Smith die?
Yeah, beginning of the season.
Yeah, like, this is only a couple months. And that was behind road rage as well. So, I mean, really sad and unfortunate, because, I mean, he didn't have the greatest end to his career, but
cut from the Chiefs.
And no one deserves to go out like that. And from what witness reports say, and multiple stories that have published it, that McKnight, and this is eyewitness from someone who didn't want to be named, that McKnight was trying to apologize. I guess some situation happened. Maybe it could have been somebody ran a red light and almost got hit. Whatever. Who knows? But apparently he was trying to apologize and calm the situation down, and the guy shot him multiple times. But hopefully the facts come out. It wasn't really publicized at all until recently. Once, I guess, like the USC, certain USC fan sites found out, that's when I caught it and I saw that it blew up. So it's really unfortunate.
Yeah, so, you know, prayers to his soul and his family and
all his loved ones.
But We're not here to talk about that on the Touchdown and Tangent podcast. You know, we're not here to bum you out. We're here to entertain you, hit you with some conversation, maybe a little debate, and a lot of shit talking along the way.
Lots of shit talking.
So, for those of you who've never joined us, we appreciate you stumbling upon us on your cousin's phone.
At your cousin's house that has all the good Wi-Fi.
Your grandma's tablet that she doesn't know how to charge.
Or your mom's phone, because let's be honest, she won't give you a nicer phone, and you know how to jailbreak her iPhone. So you might as well use the technology you have. Or if you're at the library for like 20 minutes on the computer.
Whatever the case, we appreciate you listening to us on the iTunes Music Store, Spreaker, SoundCloud, and whatever else you can get your hands on.
Getting better at saying Spreaker.
It's only taken me about 12 episodes, but you know, I'm learning.
That's good.
So, all right, Kenneth, let's start it off. I'll start off. Go ahead. There's a couple of things kind of trending right now on this side of our coast. Let's start off with everyone's favorite topic. Jeff Fisher, 4-7, started off 3-1. Is it time for that man to go?
Like Tom Lutie, Fox Sports radio personality, great voiceover guy, by the way, loves to say, the regurgitation of the middle-aged white male. It's disgusting. He mostly talks about it in football and in basketball. But in this case, let's just look at probably the worst head coach. Maybe one of the worst head coaches of all time in Jeff Fisher.
He is only a few losses away from being the most losingest coach of all time.
And it's not like he's Brett Favre, like he's the most wins and the most losses. No, he has the most losses. I would compare his career to that if, I don't know, if Greg Oden stuck around. Or maybe a Sam Bowie. You know, the guy who got picked over Jordan. But, yeah, in like 9 of the past 11 seasons, he's not had a winning record. One season he made the playoffs, had like a somewhat losing record, but no. He's just had a losing record like 9 of the last 11 seasons. The Titans or the Rams, the last teams he's coached, they haven't made the playoffs since the mid-2000s. This man has been given what? This is what, his fifth year? Fourth or fifth? Almost about four.
I think this is his fifth losing season in a row.
Yeah, just with the Rams. He's been here so long, it makes no sense. And then the COO of the Los Angeles Rams came out and said he's doing a model job. Now, I'm just curious, and God forbid it, but it's Cleveland, so who knows. Let's say, hypothetically, a man like Hugh Jackson gets fired, who's been proven to be a great offensive mind and a great coach, and has actually improved a lot of talent in this league, and shown, hell, Terrell Pryor is about to have 1,000-yard receiving. I mean, if that's not saying what an excellent coach he is, I don't know what else to tell you.
I mean, that's more of a tribute to his athleticism.
And work ethic. Mostly work ethic.
And Terrell Pryor has been a standout work ethic since he's gotten into the league. As a supplemental draft pick, this kid was staying after practice, working late as a quarterback.
It just wasn't working out for him. But, I mean, you can blame Jim Chester for that. But anyway, I digress. And this is, Cleveland hasn't won a game, but they've been more competitive in most games than probably the Rams have been all season.
That's blasphemy.
Okay, just because you win on dumb luck doesn't...
Rams are winning 2-point games and losing... They've lost like three games by a score, and they've won like...
But let's look at the stats. Four. Let's look at how inept they are offensively.
All right,
Let me finish my point. There has been no progression in this organization with the Rams. In fact, their defense has probably taken a hit. They've lost players. They're bad all around.
All right.
And eventually you need to just get rid of Jeff Fisher.
All right. I get it.
So much about this.
All right. Well, just to be fair, in all good fairness, Jeff Fisher, from all accounts, is actually a decent dude and players like him, media likes him. He's actually a good dude. So
people like Greg Oden, but guess what?
Okay, that's health. That's player, different circumstances.
Was
different
there any sport. Success there?
No. It's different. It's different. But anyways, let me talk and say my point that you're going to agree with, and I drop this mic, all right? Damn. So anyways, to be fair, like I was saying, people like Jeff Fisher, number one. Number two, he is actually a good defensive mind. He's actually always had a defense that pretty much trends, you know, in the upper half. But, and the whole point why I think he's been around is, you know, he went through relocation in Tennessee as well. So, okay, we got to that part. That's fine. We know that. We've been on that. But this is my problem with Jeff Fisher, and this is why I think he should have already been fired. When you look at Jeff Fisher, like you said, Kenneth, he's one of the losing coaches. There hasn't been enough progression there. But if you look at even when he has won, even when he's been mediocre, how has he done it? Off of defense and what? B-minus quarterback play at best outside of Steve McNair?
C-plus. C-minus.
And the thing is, some accounts say that he didn't even want to draft Jared Goff. Look at his resume, right? Vince Young. There's no reason why Vince Young shouldn't have been a successful quarterback. I don't care about his mechanics. I don't care about his attitude. That man had he had the intangibles and he had the measurables, right? So what happened to him? Because if you look at his record, he was still a winning quarterback. So what happened to him? I don't know. I wasn't there. What I do know is that he went through a really dark time and he really contemplated suicide. So whether or not that's connected to Fisher, which it was at one point, it was connected to him. I don't know if that's the guy I want next to my quarterback. Then you factor in Sam Bradford, Mr. Mediocre, number one draft pick.
You forgot Chris Johnson at running back. He also ruined Chris Johnson a little bit.
So, I actually forgot about that too. So, that brings a connection to Todd Gurley.
He ruined a 2,000-yard rusher.
A la Todd Gurley. So, my whole thing is this the guy you want to mentor your people? And this is a point that I've kind of hit, I think, on the last podcast. He is almost like the Byron Scott when you look at the Lakers last season. Is like, he's this old school mind trying to get players to fit into his system. Well, guess what? The league's professional athletes aren't what they used to be. You need to make your systems fit your athletes. And Jeff Fisher needs to do a better job of that. I think Jeff Fisher will probably get another job as a coordinator, and he'll probably be really good, and that might even be enough to earn him another job at a head coach. But as for this job right now, he needs to go. Again, the rough part is, though, who's better to coach that team on the staff right now? Their offensive coordinators the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach are both underqualified. Their defensive coordinator is connected to one of the biggest scandals in NFL history. So
their offensive line is terrible, by the way, in general.
Shout out to Greg Robinson, who actually was benched after starting 38 straight games, number two overall pick in the 2014 NFL draft.
One of the most highly penalized offensive linemen since entering the league. And, oh yeah, he went to Auburn.
And he should probably be playing guard. Because he's actually a run blocker. That's what he's better at, though he holds.
He should be playing guard.
But why can't he play guard? Because you have another guy who can't play guard or tackle playing guard, a la Roger Saffold. So, let's keep it pushing. Thursday Night Football. The game actually just concluded. The Cowboys won in what did you say the score was?
17-15, Cowboys won, but there was actually a crucial no call where pretty much a defensive lineman had his hands all the way in Sam Bradford's face mask. Should have been a hands to the face penalty thrown, but there wasn't. 17-15. Cowboys are 11-1, and they have the Giants, Buccaneers, Lions, and Eagles left on the schedule. Oh my.
So you're looking at a team that could probably go
15-1?
14-2. I mean, like you said, I think you said off air.
13-3.
The Giants will
are their best foe at this point.
The Eagles could get them just based off that rivalry.
Yeah,
because those games are just washes. You don't know which way those can go.
They don't look like the old Cowboys. I don't think they're going to like fudge a punt return at the end of the game.
And Dak did get a little bit exposed. He's been getting a little bit exposed here and there. The team is good enough that they're able to overcome that. Either way, you already talked about the no call. This has been going on all season. The past couple of years has been going on. That's besides the point. NFL rankings are going down. Thursday Night Football ends after the 2017 season. The contract ends, and then it'll be time to renegotiate.
Good.
So, Kenneth, should Thursday Night Football go away?
It should have never been here in the first place. Like, the only football I want to see on a Thursday night is like really important high school varsity football or college football. It's a useless market to put on a Thursday night when you have Monday night football, and then already people's schedules are messed up body wise. Like the Cowboys play again on the 11th. Like you're giving them a short week. Like it's not enough time to recover for these guys. They shouldn't be playing games on Thursday nights. Especially since most people don't even have NFL Network to actually watch.
And actually, well, these games are now simulcasted on CBS, NBC, and Twitter, so.
But still, that was recently. Like, the point is,
well, the whole Thursday night, the whole point is, the whole reason why these games were made were for NFL Network, right?
And by the way, the end of the four-part special of, Supergirl, Arrow, Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow, that ends tonight. So, yeah, more people are probably watching that than the NFL. But whatever.
I don't think that's probably true tonight.
You're not in the Arrowverse. You don't understand.
Wait.
DC TV shows.
You're right, because I don't buy television ads. DC, I wouldn't know. DC. You're right. Who am I? My bad.
Okay.
Sorry. I don't look at these ratings every day. I'm not really out here in these streets. So anyways, when you want to let me talk...
Do you watch Arrow?
No, I don't.
Okay, then. You don't know.
I know people watch... I read about people who watch the...
Telling you, DC Comics...
Anyways.
It's not our... DC Comics...
I need you to bring your level 3 down to a level 2.
I am calm. DC Comics... Naturally, have really high ratings. And after last night's episode of Arrow...
And if anyone... ever question your nerd card?
Don't question my
hood right now.
Don't question my hood card.
Is
either.
Not the chance.
Yeah, don't question my hood card either. I'm still from East Oakland. I didn't forget. Anyway, bottom line is that's who they're going.
Well, your
up
haircut
against.
Says you're from Squareville, so
that made no sense. And you grew your hair out too. It's just
anyway.
It's not even November anymore.
Anyways, back to my point. Thursday Night Football was established for one reason. NFL Network.
Money.
NFL Network. That's the only reason why it was made.
Money.
Because there was nothing else unique about NFL Network.
Still ain't.
Reruns of basically SportsCenter and what it's basically SportsCenter.
Better analysis.
With the NFL
a little bit better.
Focus and ESPN Classic combined. So the reason why they made these Thursday night live football games was to get the added revenue. But since they've simulcasted, they've essentially outsourced that game to CBS, NBC, and Twitter, and hence have lost some of that revenue.
So basic cable is beating their ass, pretty much.
No, so network is beating their ass. But what I'm saying is, that's why it's probably going to go away, because it doesn't make sense. Why? If you're not putting out the best product, and you're not reaping the benefits, you're letting other people reap the benefits... What's the point?
It's like dudes who drop mixtapes. Like, yeah, we all know who you are. Like, if Gucci Mane dropped a mixtape tomorrow, J. Cole's album is coming out, by the way. Prepare yourself, everybody.
Tangent.
J. Cole album coming out.
All right, man. Anyways.
Bottom line. But if, like, when you drop a mixtape and you're really popular, everyone's going to get hold of it. But it's free, so you're not really making any money. You're just getting name recognition. And the problem with Thursday Night Football is, as like you said, once you start outsourcing, you lose control of your product because you're giving it away on basic cable.
No, on network.
Network, whatever, network. But anyway, like, it's, there's no point anymore. Like, eventually it's going to get stagnant, and you're going to, like, maybe, should we do Wednesday night? Like, it's going to, they're going to try some wacky
thing. I just think Thursday night makes more sense for the college game. And I think if you want to have primetime games, then do it on Monday night. Maybe do a doubleheader on Monday night.
Yeah.
Maybe do a
nothing on
Saturday
Tuesday
night.
No, don't. Saturday belongs to college football.
Okay, but I'm saying right now at the end of the season, when which they're already going to do Saturday games.
That's just for like the first round of the playoffs, though.
But that's what I'm saying. So you can do that now when games are winding down. Right? The conference championship games are mostly on the East Coast, so they're all going to be early.
Except the Pac-12
have a prime, championship. Prime time game.
Except the Pac-12 championship. But even then.
Because everyone cares about that game.
Yeah, actually, because Colorado's ranked like 9th, and Washington is ranked 5th. So whoever wins is probably going to get that 4th spot over Michigan. Anyway.
Maybe.
You're not allowed to talk about college football, Pete.
But if Washington loses,
USC beat both teams, so I don't really care.
But if Washington loses, no one might get in. So there's
unfortunately
that. And then,
because Colorado lost to
which
Michigan,
actually
badly
makes the most sense, because
Colorado got blown
while
out by
the
Michigan.
Pac-12 has been a very competitive conference, it has not been the best.
Well, actually, it has been the best because it's so competitive.
As a whole, yes, but top
Washington
heavy,
State won 10 games heavy, this year.
But top heavy,
Washington
no.
State won
but
10.
Top heavy,
the
no.
Washington State Cougars won
but
10 games
again,
this year. Did
top
you
heavy,
hear what I said?
Again, top heavy, no. Do they have a powerhouse? No. Clearly not.
That's because everybody can beat each other. That's because it's really talented, and they all compete for highly contested recruits nationwide. And you could probably add some teams from other conferences into the Pac-12.
Okay, this is not a college football podcast.
I'm just saying, fuck the SEC. There, I said it.
Okay, Keyshawn Johnson. I That's mean, literally his take. You literally just verbatim spit out exactly what he
no,
said.
No, but I'm just
exactly
saying,
what he's been saying on the radio every
some
week.
Some Mountain West teams yeah. that could beat some SEC teams. I'm just saying. Boise State could beat them.
You're also biased towards the Mountain West.
Because there are three great teams in there that I've been watching. San Diego State should be a Pac-12 team. And boys. No, I'm just going to write the article. Screw it. Anyway.
All right. Let's move into the next segment.
Notre Dame and UCLA suck, by the way. I'm done with college football. All right. Next segment. Let's go.
And he just had to get a jab in on me real quick. But yeah, I actually really just rang the bell. And then you just, you know, kind of threw an extra punch in when the ref already stepped in between us. So yeah, you're dirty.
Protect your hands. Protect yourself at all times, Victor Ortiz.
Too soon. Anyways.
What? That's too soon? Wow.
Anyways, can we move on? Can we move on to the touchdown and turnover segment of the show that we do every week
yes,
on
we
the
can.
Touchdowns
yes.
and Tangents show?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Thank you, Kenneth.
You're welcome.
So go ahead. Start it off. Give me your first touchdown or turnover scenario.
So since I already hope Jeff Fisher gets fired and he sucks, I can't use that one. But I'm going to go a different route. Touchdown or tangent. Is Colin Kaepernick...
Touchdown or turnover, but go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, it came out
wrong. It's all right. You said the podcast name, so you're good.
It came out wrong.
You're good. You're good. You're good.
Anyway, touchdown or turnover. Colin Kaepernick is still a viable NFL starting quarterback.
Touchdown, because why?
He dropped like 30 fantasy points last week?
No, because Matt Barkley is starting the NFL game this week. Because Luke McCown still has a job. Or wait, Josh McCown.
Josh
Both
McCown.
Of them actually still have jobs. That's right.
Really?
Luke Anyways, I actually really just added to my point accidentally. Wow. Shout out to me. This is actually a touchdown because he just has too many skills. Like, you can't teach what this man has as far as arm strength and speed. As far as all the other stuff...
Should we touch on the Castro thing?
Nah, because it's really just a misunderstanding. I mean, he's already talked about that so much.
Historically speaking, he's not wrong, but, you know, people don't care.
He's not saying he supports Castro. He's saying that he supports some of the good things that Castro did.
Like, he actually... Like, Castro actually helped black revolutionaries.
But not even just that, but the point is...
Any outlet.
If you look at any contested historical figure, they've...
Have enemies and...
Exactly. Allies. They've done good and they've done bad. That's why they've been able to stay in power. Except Reagan. But that's also why they have it. So, like, if you look at people... Some people say Saddam Hussein kept a peaceful regime in Iraq. Which is not... Which is not completely out there because they weren't a war-torn country until we went over there and killed their dictator and tried to employ democracy. But that's neither here or there. That's a tangent.
Yeah, it's too much tied into that. But anyway, like, and this is the last thing about Castro. Some people would say that, yes, his dictatorship kind of hurt his people. And a lot of people over here who are Cuban... And apparently, if you look at the polls, it states that a lot of Cubans who are over here now who voted for Donald Trump, apparently, they're the ones who kind of were happy and excited that Castro was dead. But that just goes back to colorism and light skin versus dark skin.
All right, man.
Historical thing
we're not
that I don't
want to
get into.
But yeah. Anyways. Google
it. Just Google it.
My question is this.
So you don't sound stupid when you talk to people. Google it.
Touchdown or tangent. Once again.
I didn't get the answer. Damn.
It doesn't always work like that. It only works like that some weeks.
So all answers don't matter? Okay, I see how it is.
I mean, it's not really... Some weeks we both touch on them, some weeks we don't.
I'm joking. Just go.
So, can you let me moderate the podcast like I do every week? Besides the one week you try to moderate and it was horrible. Don't talk about that dark shit. That was a dark episode. We don't talk about that. Wow. No pun intended. But we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that. That's not what I meant. You know that's not what I meant.
I don't know, man.
You know that's not what I meant.
I started talking about colorism and you just went shit.
That's not what I meant.
You're the one getting upset. I'm just saying. I was the one who was accosted. I was emotionally accosted just now. But all right.
Anyways, once again, touchdown or turnover, Aldis Smith will play a game this season.
Your BFF for life will be reinstated once the playoffs start. But it'll be pretty much useless to the Raiders by then. So it's a touchdown. Goodell just wants to really stick it all the way up Aldis Smith's, you know, all the way up.
Part of it is he should know better, but at the same time, it's like this whole collective bargaining agreement is just a mess as far as player discipline. And again, it's something that's just been talked about way too much. You know, would you look at that? A white man controlling the destiny of a bunch of black men.
Wow. Like, I gave you a chance to get off the third rail, and you just hopped right back on it.
I mean, that's real talk, though. Is that not? Am I out of place? Am I out of balance for saying
you're
that?
You're not out of pocket for saying that, but in earlier podcasts, I've said it, and you cut me off. You're like, no, that's not true.
But I didn't say that's not true. I maybe didn't want to talk about it, but maybe now it's personal to me.
Nah, that's okay. Because
it's one of my favorite players.
Talk about your privilege. Oh.
Free Alden. Anyways.
Maybe Alden should have freed himself up.
Anyways, your turn.
All right. So... Touchdown or turnover. Now, this is a NFL draft college-related question. This might be
this
one of
this guy's just trying to stunt me. Go ahead. Go ahead.
There's about at least, everyone who knows me knows my hatred of the University of Texas football. and that I think that.
All right, man. Get to the question. This is supposed to be rapid fire. This is not supposed to take a bunch of build up and background.
I have to preface it. Okay. But bottom line is, Deontay Freeman, the Texas Longhorns junior running back, pretty much probably had the quietest 2,000-yard rushing season in the history of college football. And he rushed for over 100 yards in every game he played in, even though Charlie Strong got fired, and they went like 5-7.
Even though you're wearing Texas orange.
No, I'm not. This is bright orange. Oh, it's more like Syracuse orange. It's more like Syracuse orange. Says the guy wearing freaking...
Clemson orange?
Yeah, it's Clemson orange. Says the guy wearing freaking maroon pants. Be proud of yourself. Be real proud of yourself.
Back to the point.
So, with guys already in this draft like Leonard Fournette, who's probably going to come out, you have Dalvin Cook out of Florida State, or just broke the all-time touchdown record for Florida State for rushing touchdowns. You have so many, probably about, I'd say, 15 running backs who are really great in this draft, including Mountain West guys. Touchdown or tangent, Latavius Murray of the Oakland Raiders.
Damn, he just took a right turn on this shit.
Yeah. You see why I had to set it up? You see what I did there? You see the ending now. Stranger Things. All right. So, running backs such as like a Latavius Murray of the Oakland Raiders, who are maybe...
Okay! What's the
shut the hell up! Right when I'm about to say it, you keep talking. So, running backs like that are pretty much SOL, shit out of luck, if you don't know what that means. Will they get deals? Will they get new deals? No, seriously. Like, with all these, with this incredibly talented draft class coming out of running backs.
This is a turnover, and here's why. Look at Lamar Miller. Look at Arian Foster last season. Did those guys get the kind of money and deals that they want? Have running backs been getting...
Foster got a deal in his prime. Miller got a deal.
But that's what I'm saying is the running back market has depreciated...
Saturated?
Not even saturated. It's depreciated, period. You can't take away the big hits that you take throughout your life, whether it's in high school, whether it's in college, and especially not on the pros. Whether it's Chris Johnson, whether it's Jamal Charles, whether it's whoever.
Davenport. I'm kidding.
Anyways, you've seen these players... go from really good one day to really average the next day. And at that point, it's just cheaper to go with somebody younger. And when you're talking about next year's draft class, there's a ton of guys who could go in the first three rounds, first four rounds. And the thing is, it kind of hurts all of them as well. Like we saw a couple years ago when, you know, Ayayi and that class came out. That was another really good running back class. And they didn't have the numbers that this running back class has.
Yeah, granted, Ayayi went in the fifth round.
That's what I'm saying. But as far as measurables, that class had a lot of great players that were supposed to be really good. Now, this class has the production that that class didn't necessarily have.
Pump results.
So, therefore, we could see a lot of them go in the first round, where it could be the return of the running back, and we see a premium on them in the first round. Or it could be, let's just wait and see who's there in the second round. Let somebody else take the first running back at the end of their first round. Then you see a team like Oakland. You see a team like Seattle. You see a team like New England. Watering at the mouth. Let Fournette fall to one of those teams at the end of the first round.
If he was a bad 40 time,
God.
If he was a 4-6, yeah.
Wouldn't even be fair.
I mean, I would...
So really, I would say last year's running back class and the year before, like Carl Langford, Dean Carey, like Duke Johnson, like
just Jordan Howard.
These guys are on notice because, yeah, you've shown you can do a little bit in the league. Yes, you have, but you've also shown some question marks. So this class might be coming for your jobs. Period.
And just a quick follow-up, do you feel like this class might reshape the whole running back landscape in the NFL, or is it too early to say?
I mean, it could.
Pumphrey.
It could, because when you look at the feature backs in the league right now, right?
Yeah.
Who are they? Le'Veon Bell, right?
When he's not getting suspended.
Yeah. David Johnson.
Yep. Zeke. Murray.
Zeke.
And Murray might get touches taken away by
and Murray might get time. Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't even put him up there. He's probably at the top of the next tier.
I mean,
but as far as pure unchallenged feature backs,
AP's you're looking much at the end of the road.
You're looking at Le'Veon and Zeke, and then after that
Johnson
and Johnson.
Johnson's on that level.
And then after that, you got the Gurley's, you got the
Gurley's terrible this year.
You got the, but I mean, Murray's he had a great first year, so
yeah.
I would still put him in the. He's still a feature back in my eyes.
He's still a feature back, but I mean it.
That's where we're at in the league.
Think of Larry Johnson. So many touches, it's gonna wear on your body, and he came back from a torn ACL.
But that's why they're getting away from him late. That's why they haven't been giving him the ball late.
Because he has no backup.
Because he's inefficient. And I mean, because he's inefficient and they're not willing to get hurt. So shout out to Trey Mason, wherever you are, man. Because you could be actually adding some value to this Rams team right now.
Jeremy Langford, by the way. Michigan State. Whatever. Chicago.
Whatever. Yeah,
he gets no run, though. He gets, but still.
Yeah.
And Danelle Pumphrey.
He was hurt. He was a starter, but he got hurt.
Yeah, now Justin Howard pretty much took that over completely. Yeah, Jordan exactly. Howard took that over.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying.
Danelle Pumphrey out of San Diego State's about to actually break the all-time rushing
record. Yeah, him too.
He's only like 100 yards away.
Him too, yep.
And that's crazy because it's San Diego State, but he's literally about to destroy that record. Jeremy McNichols out of Boise State from the Snoop Dogg Football League the most.
And isn't Chubbs eligible too?
Chubbs is eligible, but Georgia's been bad this year. But you have him, you have Brian Hill out of Wyoming, all-time leading, probably the greatest statistical player in the history of Wyoming football. Like, wow.
And the running back out of Miami is supposed to be good, too?
Yeah. You just talk about West Coast backs, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah,
that's about He's right. actually average. He has about 1,700 yards rushing this year, almost. It's not like he just fell off. I mean, yeah, Stanford played a cupcake in UC Davis, but still.
All right, man. Well, we've spent way too much time talking about way too many different things, so let's go ahead and close it out. You want to go first, or you want me to go first?
I think you should go first and just get that out of your system.
Well, since I know Kenny's already going to slander me about Notre Dame and UCLA and probably a couple other things, I'll let him get to that, but really, the number one point I want to get to is we talked a little bit about coaches, and, you know, for those of you who don't know, I spent a little bit of time, you know, coaching some varsity football here in the Valley, and I remember this moment, right, with this kid. I told him, play guard, right? And he gave me lip about it. He's like, I don't know guard. I play tackle. And I looked and I was like, just play guard. And he did it. But afterwards, I pulled him to the side and I said, son, don't ever talk back to me again. And here's why. What is a coach? And he said, you tell me what to do and how to play football. And I said, no. A coach puts you in the best position to succeed. And football and in life. So the reason why I'm telling you to play guard is not to be an asshole to you. The reason why I'm telling you to play guard is because it's going to help you as a tackle to know what a guard does. Number one. And number two, your body is more conditioned to be a guard. Especially at the next level, at the varsity level, because this is a JV lineman. And so, I'm not here to be a dick to you. I'm here to help you succeed. And so, when we were talking about these coaches and firing them and stuff like that, it doesn't come down to X's and O's because these guys are all experienced players, experienced former players, former scouts, whatever. They know the game. They've been around the game their whole lives. It doesn't come down to that. It comes down to managing egos. It comes down to building relationships. It comes down to communication. And if you're not doing that, if you're not inspiring your players, then guess what? You're at the top of the food chain, and there's hundreds of people that want to get your job, whether it's at the college, the varsity level, that are dreaming to get there. So at the end of the day, NFL coaches, I'm not speaking about one who's in LA, but don't take your job for granted. That's all I got to say.
Wow. Bravo. That was amazing. But yeah, I'm about to bust your ass. I'm just going to get into this. So yeah, USC, I was one of the people who was like, should we fire Clay Helton and try to get Les Miles? I mean, I still kind of feel like that. But, you know, I have a change of heart based off what Pete said. Yeah, Clay Helton got USC to 9-3 and essentially were really one game away if they had beat Utah, away from actually being in the Pac-12 championship game. Which, since the Pac-12 championship came about, USC just managed to get screwed and out of being in it like every year. Because the first year they were actually in it, they beat UCLA 50-7 and weren't allowed to actually be in said game. And UCLA went and got wrecked by Stanford, like, for the 1,000th time. And then you have a team like Notre Dame, who was in a national title picture a couple of years ago. Actually in the game, and then they got their souls taken by Alabama. Just like Texas did. Texas eventually recovered. And shout out to Tom Herman, former Houston Cougars head coach, for actually getting that job.
Sell out.
Can't sell out unless someone buys in. But, it's just funny now he's at Texas, but they didn't want to let Houston in. The funny thing is, if he wins, and they're probably going to win 10 games this year with all the talent they have, NFL talent that Charlie Strong personally recruited, he's winning with someone else's players. And that just, it's funny to me. And I go back to the USC situation because it's different because Clay Helton's been there like 6 years. A lot of those guys are his guys. I'm glad they brought Clancy Pendergrass back for the defense, because that actually probably saved a couple guys, especially seniors on that defense, like Michael Hutchings, Quentin Powell, probably saved some guys' NFL aspirations. But yeah, when it comes to coaching, there's a level of loyalty that you should have to your coach, but I feel like that comes to an end when things break down to the point where players are regressing in their productivity and talent. And that's what it is with Jeff Fisher. That's what I feel like it is with Notre Dame and Brian Kelly, especially after the academic situation. And that's what it almost was with Clay Helton and USC. But he's got that team mentally tough, and that's what USC's been missing for all these years. They didn't have any real mental toughness. And it's coming around. I mean, they're probably not going to go to a national title game, but to close it out, when it comes to coaches, yeah. Stick with them, but you got to know when to cut bait and leave. And I feel like it's best if they just cut bait with Jeff Fisher. And Adoree Jackson for Heisman. He deserves it. Hopefully he falls in the draft because he's given up like 5 touchdowns this year. Anyway, Raider Nation, I'm out.
So, this is the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast. I'm P.D. Camarillo.
I'm Kenneth Van Changer Barrett.
You can catch us at Thursdays on Thursdays at 8-ish on Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, and wherever else you can find us. We thank you for joining us. We thank you for stumbling upon us. You can call us a bum on Twitter at TDs_tangents, at Pete Certified.
At Ozo Grande, O-Z-O Grande.
And we're way over time, but thank you. RIP Joe McKnight. Peace.